we came up with this idea of the layers that you go through on what Richard calls the path of descent, and just do a very quick version of it. Because if you're serious, you'll come into this stuff. We call them the strata. And we write about this in The Wisdom of the Enneagram, if you want to go back and look at it. Some people tell me they think wisdom is just more about the types. I say, well, you have to read the whole book. I know what happens with Enneagram books. People go to their type and they read their type, and they got a new boyfriend, they read that type. But there's other stuff in the book. I'm the same way. So the first strata, or stratum, to use our Latin correctly, is our usual habitual self-image. In other words, we just walk around believing what we believe and thinking we are who we think we are. Hi, I'm Russ, and I grew up here and have these characteristics, and I'm an Enneagram 5. That could be part of it. But we're just not awake and just operating mechanically and taking everything as a given. One thing I learned about teaching the Enneagram, people mistype themselves. At first, I thought, how could they do that? Most people don't really know what they're up to very much. We tend to notice this in our loved ones more than ourselves. But it's true. And we're all kind of living in this delusion of who we think we are. One of my dearest friends, she gave our Enneagram test to her father, and he was taking it, and the rest of the family was looking at his answers, and they were laughing so hard. They were just on the floor, because it was just like so obvious that how he saw himself was not at all how anyone else did. Well, that's usual. We see ourselves as better than we are, worse than we are. We don't see how we actually are, usually. It's not entirely delusional, but we're not even curious to find out. We just believe our stuff. The second stratum is, if you're actually sincere, you start to notice your actual behavior. Oh man, I act really differently than I thought, and the Enneagram can help you. Oh yes, I'm a 2, but I don't really do that. And then you're looking a little later and you're going, oh dear. We are different than we think. Don Riso, when he teaches about this, he talks about how he thought he was never late. Well, usually the meetings were at his house, so it was pretty easy. But then he noticed, gee whiz, I'm always late. Gosh, how can that be? You know, one of mine was, I'm always rational. I'm a 5. I'm only logical and rational. I don't ever have emotional reactions to things and do irrational. I mean, I really actually thought that. Delusional. You actually start to see what you're up to. Catching yourself in the act, chapter 1. In the business world, you got to do a 360-degree review to get somebody to just admit to their behavior. The boss, the co-workers, and the people who work under you all have to say, yes, you're actually late a lot. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. We get dragged screaming even to this one, right? The third stratum is our underlying motivations, emotions, sort of all the stuff that psychotherapy looks at. It's a little bit more look under the hood, sort of the level of psychological explanation. I'm never late. Oh, yes, I am late. Oh, man, my father used to always boss me around, and one way I felt I was in control was by just deciding to come when I wanted to come. Got a little passive-aggressive going on, ha, 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 ha. And the Enneagram will help you learn about this. If you look at it deeply enough, you'll start to see I'm a 2, and I love to give, and that's a real thing, but I also am deeply wanting somebody to see me and recognize my loving heart. You see? So that's already pretty good. And what's needed? Sincerity and the willing to ask questions. Just wanting to know the truth will get you this far. But here's my challenge. That alone will not bring transformation. Can bring insight, can bring understanding, you won't be transformed. Between stratum 3 and 4 lies what I call a shock. We talked about shocks as lawful discontinuities that require a different ingredient to go further. So what's this? Stratum 4 is our underlying affects and tensions, like our state of consciousness, our mood, the tensions in our body. The shock here is presence. It's a very cool thing to know, gee whiz, whenever my wife does X, I react in Y way. Like when my husband comes home a little late, I don't want to talk to him for a while. Good thing to know. In stratum 4, you notice while you're doing it. And not only are you just, oh, there I am doing it, you're sensing what's happening in my heart and body right now on doing this unconscious behavior. You taste your sleep. Like I noticed every time I was anxious, I'd scrunch my toes up. I noticed a lot of 6s when they get tense, their lips disappear. But it's not enough to just know that. If you're a 6, you want to say, what's happening in my face when that's going on? What's happening in my belly, in my heart? I'm angry. What does anger feel like? Rather than just label it, I actually bring the presence to it. Does this make sense? Now, already we've separated the adults from the children here. Not too many people want to sign up for this one. Already it's like, we don't really want to taste that. And it gets worse, of course. The fifth stratum is the underlying emotions of the Enneagram. Rage, shame, fear, and the raw libidinal energies. You get into touch with the inner freak out. Here's where the actual passions are felt, not disguised as behaviors. You're feeling what gluttony is. What's gluttony feel like? Listen to a baby screaming to be held and picked up and fed, and no one's responding. That scream, that cry, that's gluttony. And it leads to a whole bunch of behaviors. But here, the passions can't be gussied up. Here, we're not trying to make it more civilized. It isn't civilized. It's a raw, very upset baby. It's an animal soul that wants what it wants and doesn't give a damn about our spiritual projects. But what's happening? Are we acting this out? No. Are we suppressing it? No. We're bringing presence in the body, open-heartedness, and as quiet a mind as we can, and we're participating in the holding of it. We're offering it up to God, if you will, in the living moment, the only time we can. Not exactly a picnic, but you get used to it. You actually start to like being busted. It's like, oh man, here I am. I wanted to kill that cab driver. I feel pure hatred right now. Amazing. Right? But instead of acting on it or letting it go undercover where you're actually doing hateful things, you're feeling it. You're not passing it on. Anybody who doesn't think they have these emotions is going to be in for some big surprises if you're really sincere. Of course we do. The sixth stratum is, I wish I could say there was a punchline yet, but not quite. Emptiness, deficiency, grief, remorse. This is the time of the heart's real turning. And this is what is referred to in spiritual literature as what? Dark night of the soul. Right? A lot of people have a day where they're feeling a little down. They think they're here. No. It's like the fire, the wind has gone out of your sails. And it looks like the person's depressed, but I'll tell you how you know the difference. You're very aware of what's going on you. All your egoic projects of meaning, every little thing you thought was going to fix things for you, you realize never will. It's God's waiting room. And you just sit there. And the only thing that makes any sense at this level is just kindness. It's the only thing that gets you through. The only thing that makes any sense at all is just simple kindness and compassion. And that's how you know it's not depression. So you might be feeling utterly empty. Nothing means anything. And yet you find yourself almost without any decision on your part, doing things for people. You're being of help where you can. And there's no thought about you in it. It's just what you do. All your faith that was constructed, intellectual, all the stuff you did basically to protect you from this is gone. And you're left with this staggering vastness. And there's nothing you can do, because anything you do just gets you back in the swamp again. So then comes the second shock. Surrender. True surrender. Not my will, but thine. At that stage, you enter the seventh stratum, and there's a shock here of that surrender. And I call this one the void. You drop into an unimaginable, breathtaking, vast stillness. The peace that passeth all understanding. There's nothing to get upset about. There's nothing to run away from. There's nothing you're trying to make. The heart completely melts and dissolves into this great stillness. Now, the ego has some thoughts about this. What's that sound like to you? Eternal stillness, peace, nothing happening. What's that remind you of? Death. It is the death of the ego. I would suggest that most people go through several of these, maybe even many. Very rare for a person to do this once and for all time. The divine solvent melts down our little ego. And then the eighth and ninth, I'll just put them down here quickly and say this is the great mystery. And Christianity addresses this in a number of ways. And they're not sequential in my view. They happen kind of co-emergent and sequentially. One of them, and I don't even want to write words down here for it. I'm going to go with the Hebrews here. You're left with the direct awareness that there is nothing here but God. Everything that you can experience, everything that is God. You're not separate from that God. Every gesture, everything that you are, it's not yours. The idea of possession makes no sense anymore. Everything is just this God. And it's not an idea, it's not a theology, it's just your direct experience. There's only one presence. Just what we talked about at the beginning. And the ninth, which kind of goes with it, you become absolutely human. You're not up on some podium. You're not better than other people. Everything is intimate, personal, and delicious. And having your orange juice in the morning is an absolute experience of revelation. You could say, in a sense, that God is tasting your orange juice. And you've become, at this stage, at least in that moment, that it's true, a window through which God's grace can come into the world. Because you were willing to become transparent. You kept saying yes, no matter what it took. In a sense, in the end, that's our one power, is to say yes to what's calling us. And the Enneagram is just a way to help us see how we say no. So that's what I have to say about this today. Hope it was interesting. Thank you. Thank you.